As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Can the Nuggets make up for the loss of Jamal Murray? The Lakers are finding a way without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The two most recent players of the week continue their hot runs. And we had our 40th wedgie of the season. Woo-hoo! Oh yeah, and Anthony Edwards doesn't know who Alex Rodriguez is? Hey, I'm Tass Mellis, and this is what you need to know in the NBA for Wednesday, April 14th. What's up, everybody? We start with those two reigning players of the week. Two guys I often link because of their playing styles and their wiry frames, Jason Tatum and Paul George. They are both balling, starting with the Celtics' Jason Tatum, who hit the game-sealing shot against the Blazers with a slippery sidestep three ball, his patented sidestep three, in an entertaining national TV game over the Blazers. It was a back-and-forth affair. It was a delight. A lot of offense in this one. The Celtics have won four in a row and six of seven. Tatum, averaging 29 over his last 10, looking like that super-duper star. Tatum said after the game, though, he still isn't 100% after the COVID-19 effects on his body. He still uses an inhaler before games to open up his lungs. And he's been back playing for 3 months now. Tatum was the difference in this game. Portland just didn't have an answer. Portland got enough scoring, just not enough in the end. The Celtics have their clear pecking order. So is it time to believe? I say I can't do it. Even though they've won four in a row and they're playing well, they're going to have to do it for a longer stretch to be a threat to the East elite. That's just the way it is, especially when they're starting such a young player at center in Robert Williams. They gave away some of their depth by trading Daniel Tice. Not ready to do it. I'm more ready to buy into the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, you heard me. Paul George continues to be the Clippers superstar. He goes out and he flings it like a superstar, taking 25 shots in a win against the Pacers, and those shots continue to go down. Just give him the ball. He had 21 points in the first half, 32 after three. The line, 36 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals. Gosh, he looks good. Throwing down on guys, the smooth shooting. It's looking like an old Jason Tatum out there. Even the defense that we know Paul George for is still happening as well. The Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard. He had a sore right foot. Serge Ibaka has missed 16 games. No Patrick Beverley right now. And they're still the NBA's hottest team, having won 6 in a row. Paul George is getting it going here at the right time. If anyone's going to believe in the Clippers like I do at this point, then he's going to have it going into the postseason, where they will be ridiculed and picked apart because they are the Clippers. Moving on to the Denver Nuggets. Oh, people were starting to believe in the Nuggets, that they could do it, that they could have a run like last year when they went to the conference finals and lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. But then Jamal Murray got hurt, tearing his left ACL. It was confirmed on Tuesday. He will be out well into next season, at least. He's 24 years old. Just got to feel terrible for the guy. He's in year 5 after what he did in the playoffs last year. That run, he was 26.5 points, 6.5 assists in the postseason. With an improved Nikola Jokic beside him, the MVP candidate in Nikola Jokic, you had to be excited to watch these two go into the postseason. You had Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon to flank those two. They just were on an 8-game winning streak, and Murray was quietly having his best season. And it kind of flew under the radar because of Jokic and everything they're doing there in Denver. But a career high in three-point shooting, two-point shooting, his most points per game, averaging over 21 points per game. So the question is now for the Denver Nuggets on the floor, can they do it without Murray? I say no. In Jokic's minutes this season, without Jamal Murray on the floor, the Nuggets are being outscored by 2 points for every 100 possessions. Jokic turns it over a lot more when Murray sits. He also doesn't shoot it as well. Murray just makes too much happen out there. And if you're looking for Michael Porter Jr. to do it, well, his effectiveness is just so much better playing as a catch-and-shoot guy rather than creating himself. We saw what Aaron Gordon has become since going from being a creator in Orlando to playing off the ball with Jokic and Murray. The additional load, I think, is going to go on Jokic's shoulders, but I think they fall in the standings where the Lakers are waiting for them. If they do fall, the Lakers have been able to hold the fort without LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They ended a 7-game trip, all without those two guys at 4-3. Even with those two, that would still be pretty respectable. They missed those offensive weapons, but they can still play championship defense. They did that against Charlotte to wrap up their trip. They're 1.5 games back of Denver for fourth. Kuzma led them with 24. He was flinging those shots. He had 8 straight going into the half. Devontae Graham led Charlotte with 19 because of those major injuries. A couple guys who probably shouldn't be in lead roles in high-volume situations, but the Lakers were able to ride Kuzma to a W, as well as Dennis Schroeder's fiery personality. He had 19 for the Lakers. Lakers dropped their first three after LeBron got injured, but have since gone 6-4. Brooklyn and Minnesota. The game was delayed a day because of the Dante Wright shooting in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. Kevin Durant had his best game since missing 2 months with a hamstring injury. Durant had 31 points, 11 of 15 shooting in just 27 minutes. This was one of those games. It was just watching KD get whatever shot he wanted. Because in theory, the Timberwolves should have guys to be able to guard Kevin Durant. They have 3 6'9" guys that they tried to throw at him. Jaden McDaniels, who is their best defender, looking very solid here early in his career. Jared Vanderbilt, who they call V8 because he's got an 8 on the back of his jersey. And his last name starts with V. And then even Juan Hernan Gomez was giving it a shot. But no, Kevin Durant get whatever shot he wanted. But the great thing about the Brooklyn Nets, they have 31 assists on 46 baskets in a rout over Minnesota. But they're also great at that ISO ball. So they've got it all. The Wolves, on the other side, are in the process of being sold to a group led by Alex Rodriguez. But their rookie, Anthony Edwards, has no idea who that is. Listen.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What do you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? Who are you?
Baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know about baseball.
See, the shocking thing is, Anthony Edwards said he played baseball as a kid, and he was great. He pitched third base, shortstop, where Alex Rodriguez did his thing. You'd think, even though he's born in 2001, you know, that his fandom, his formative years, he'd be watching Alex Rodriguez play baseball. Anyways, that's about it. Hawks, Raptors, we got some FIBA Bogdan Bogdanovic out there for the Hawks. Looks like he's playing for Serbia. A couple years ago, he was going scorching hot for that FIBA World Cup team. Credit to Coach Nate McMillan for letting him go off since he's taken over. Coming off a 32-point night, Bogey had 23 against the Raps. The Raps didn't have their starting backcourt, but the Hawks didn't have Trae Young either. And even without Trae Young, the Hawks were a well-run machine getting their shots they were supposed to, mainly because of Bogdan Bogdanovic. The same can't be said for the Raps, though. They needed Kyle Lowry, but he was resting. Maybe like Mavs owner Mark Cuban, Lowry could hate the idea of the play-in tournament because the Raps are going to need him if they want to sniff it. You got to get out there, Kyle, if you want that play-in tournament. Maybe he doesn't like it. Maybe he's said, all right, we're done here in Toronto this season. It's been a horrible year. Anyways, enough about that. OKC, Utah. Lu Dort had a career-high 42 points for OKC, but the Jazz were able to overcome and get a victory. Miami Phoenix, the Suns keep bolstering Monty Williams' Coach of the Year chances. They had 4 guys in double figures off the bench. They won despite only getting a combined 17 points from Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Their defense was stellar, holding Miami to 86 points. And incredible news. We had our 40th wedgie of the season, a rebound in the Lakers-Hornets game. You'd think with a shortened season, we'd have our lowest wedgie total ever. But we've now hit the wedgie floor in the modern era. Since we started tracking 7 seasons ago, this is how the wedgies have gone. 47 wedgies in our first year of tracking in 14-15. Then we had 45 wedgies the year after that. Then we had the high water mark of 51 wedgies in 16-17. What a year that was. Then we hit that floor of 40 wedgies the following season. Then we've gone 48, 44 last year, which was also a shortened season. And then 40 this season. And we still have the possibility of cracking our all-time high in the modern era. We have 280 regular season games left. We're getting them every 20 games or so, so we should get 10 more and get to 50 by the end of the regular season. I know I'm looking ahead here, but we get another 85 playoff games on top of that. We're going to hit 50. We're going to blast through it. Maybe we can get Shaq back here to give Skeets another wedgie like we did when we got to that 51 in 16-17. Wow. I'm getting ahead of myself. But when you hit the 40 mark, you got to get excited. All right, that's it for me. Make sure you check out the full No Dunks episode here on Wednesday. I'll be back tomorrow to give you the news as fast as I possibly can. I'll talk to you then.